The New Grad Physio podcast is hosted by Andy Barker, consultant MSK and sports physiotherapist, private practice owner and the founder of the New Grad Physio. Having experienced his own rapid rise from student to dream job just 15 months after graduating, Andy knows exactly what it takes to accelerate your skills and fly up the promotion ladder faster than you ever thought possible. Having previously worked in his dream role at the Leeds Rhinos as the head of physio and rehab, Andy now consults with a number of individual elite athletes and within professional rugby, football and dance whilst running his own group of private practice clinics. He started the New Grad Physio to help student and new grad therapists just like you overcome the specific challenges you face at the start of your therapy career, helping you to dodge the common pitfalls that can cause confusion and overwhelm with your clinical practice and stop you getting the patient results and the jobs or promotions you deserve. This podcast will deliver you actionable advice, will help you make sense of your patient assessments, reason your treatments, and patient rehab to get results well beyond your level of experience. You will also discover what you need to do to open doors, to create opportunities for yourself, so you can enjoy the best possible start to life as a new grad physio. So, let's get started.
Hey, it's Andy Barker here, and welcome to the New Grad Physio podcast. In this week's episode, I want to talk about the subjective assessment, and it's something that I personally have put a lot of time and attention into, I guess, my own practice and improvement around this area, particularly so over the last sort of 5 years or so. Maybe the 10 years prior to that, when I first graduated, I was probably predominantly chasing more skills and knowledge to try and improve my objective assessment, to improve my treatment skills, hands-on skills, techniques, etc., and also the rehab I was doing with my patient and athletes. And I'm not saying, you know, that these things didn't help and have not helped me become a better physiotherapist, but nothing has made a bigger difference to the results I get with my patients or the athletes that I work with than becoming better at my subjective assessment. There's a lot of things that I now disagree with that I was told at university from my sort of lecturers, and I guess I found through trial and error and further, you know, skills and knowledge that I developed over the last sort of 15 years or so. But there's one thing that I do agree with, and I always remember being told that the subjective assessment is the most important part of your patient assessment. And for many years, you know, I don't mind admitting this, both my work in sport and also in sort of private practice, I used to gloss over the subjective assessment. And I think back now as to why that was, and I probably happens for two different reasons. One, I didn't really value and see the importance. I thought it was all around, you know, get the, you know, patient on the bed, get the player on the bed, you know, objectively assess them, find out what's going on, and then go from there. And I think the second part of that is because I have always worked in sport, and I guess I went straight from university into full-time sport. And whilst I was still working in private practice in a part-time capacity, you know, majority of my time was spent in sport. And in that area of work, the subjective assessment is somewhat very different. So you might have a player, for example, injured in a game, and before you even get back on the bus to leave the ground, you've already been sent a clip of the player being injured from all types of different views. You can see exactly how the injury happened. You were obviously there. You might have even seen it happen right in front of your eyes. In terms of, I guess, the player's past medical history and other injuries, you know all that information already because you know the players. You know, I think back to some of the players now that I work with for a period of time, and I could tell you every single injury they've ever had. I could even tell you their address, phone numbers, just because I'm used to date of births, all personal information like that, the type of information that you would collect from a patient that you've never met before during that initial assessment, just because I spent so much time with them. But I think that warped my subjective assessment skills, I guess the process that you go through with a patient during that subjective assessment. So I guess if there's one thing that looking back if I could have been better at when I first started out, it would 100% be the subjective assessment. If I give you one tip to take away from this podcast, it is to do the subjective assessment as well as you possibly can. Take your time. Don't worry about the clock, whether you've got an hour, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever your, you know, initial assessment, you know, time block is in the environment that you work. Don't race to get to that objective assessment. Don't race to try and get your hands on your patient to try and treat them or to give them some rehab before they leave the clinic room. The subjective assessment takes as long as it takes. Clearly, more complex patients, patients with other medical problems, comorbidities, a more checkered past medical history are going to take longer. But don't be fooled by even the what seemingly are more simple cases and skip over the subjective assessment, thinking maybe you know what the problem is. Everything sounds quite simple, all pretty straightforward. And I made this error many, many times as a new grad physio, where you skip through the subjective assessment, get to the objective assessment again, maybe even at that point, still be relatively happy what was going on, start the rehab process, and then get a few sessions in, and then the patient's not improving in the way that you would like. Or they improve pretty well, but then they go back to higher level activities and they break down. And I would say almost in all those cases, what I then had to do is go back and actually reassess the patient. And part of that was actually finishing the subjective assessment, actually doing the subjective assessment properly. Because I'd missed something quite simple during that part of the assessment that had ultimately bit me on the backside, and also bit my patient on the backside, and was a reason that they had not improved. And I had an example of this yesterday in my own private practice clinic. I had a patient, a medical professional, anaesthetist, who came in who had not run properly for close now to 12 months, been around the houses, seen numerous different physios. She had knee pain, which sounded like initially presented as sort of patellar tendon pain, then some more patellofemoral joint pain. But the problem with her was not actually a knee, and that was obvious. And I worked it out quite quickly during the subjective assessment, and more specifically by doing a detailed chronological past medical history. I actually told her, I suspect that the reason your knee has not got better is because the issue around your hip has not been resolved. And to cut a long story short, 4 years ago, she had dislocated her hip skiing. 2 years after that, she had developed some left foot pain, so on the same side as her knee pain. And then a year prior to now, she developed some left knee pain. So, you know, hip, ankle, foot, should I say, and then knee, all on the same side. And then what I was able to do then is use my objective assessment to confirm what, you know, what I actually said to her at the end of that subjective assessment. So her hip was a problem. And the reason she had not got better in the last 12 months, having seen three therapists before me, having had scans and all sorts of investigations, because nobody could get on top of her knee pain, was, you know, to put it really bluntly, she was doing the wrong rehab. Now, she did not have a rehab problem. She'd actually done some pretty comprehensive rehab. Or indeed, she did not have, there wasn't an objective assessment problem. The therapist that had assessed her well to a certain degree, but the problem that they did have, and a thing that they'd not identified, was all to do with the subjective assessment. They had not correctly identified the impact that her past medical history, and in particular her hip injury and dislocation of her hip on that same side, had actually had to her inability to actually overcome this current problem with her left knee. We think, I guess, and on the face of it, it does seem quite a simple process. You know, you work through your subjective assessment, you ask your patient some simple questions, and then you get the answers to those questions from your patient. You collect that information, and again, that gives you your hypothesis about what you think might be going on with your patient, and then you actually test that out then during the objective assessment. And that's ultimately what happens with our patient assessments, the subjective into the objective assessment. But so many new grad therapists, maybe you, are actually asking the wrong questions. And they're also, again, maybe like yourself, you're not really too sure what the answers to some of those questions you're actually asking your patient actually mean. So what, again, if you're not sure what the answers actually mean, then how are you then able to act on that information and actually then do the right things both in your objective assessment to finish that patient assessment off and also help you to actually direct yourself about what you're actually going to do in terms of any hands-on treatments that you might use or any rehab that you might use with your patients. So many therapists, and I was certainly like this when I first started out, you sort of go through the motions. You're just reeling off the questions, you know, from the sheet you're reading, from the, you know, the information you've got open on your laptop, the questions ultimately you were probably taught at university during that subjective assessment. And so many therapists, and again, I did this when I first started out, you're rushing, you're trying to get to, I guess, that sexy part of the assessment, that objective assessment, because that's how you're going to diagnose your patient, right? And you also want to, you know, to get through that as well, because you want to give your patient some, maybe some hands-on treatment, and you want to give them some rehab before they, you know, before they leave the clinic room, because that's what they need, right? And I guess you put yourself under too much pressure, because no patient's going to get better no matter how good your hands-on skills are, no matter how good your rehab plan is, if you're actually treating the wrong issue. And your subjective assessment is half of your patient assessment. It's going to go a long, long way in helping you find the right patient problem. So give your subjective assessment, your patient subjective assessment, give it the time and focus it deserves, because your patient is going to thank you for it. So to help you out a little bit, I've actually got a free subjective assessment masterclass training coming up very soon. Next week, in fact, on Thursday, the 23rd of May, 2024. It's happening live and online via Zoom at 7:30 p.m. That's British summer time. And in the free training, we're going to cover all this. So you're going to discover the key subjective assessment question you need to ask every patient you see before any other question. This is something that no one is doing, and it has a massive effect on the success of your patient assessment. You're going to learn how to identify the real reason your patient has come for physio, and in 99% of the cases, this is not pain, and how to use this information to keep your patient adhere to their treatment plan. And then finally, you're going to learn why you should never skip these important questions and how the answers in the subjective assessment can help you identify both the site and source of your patient's problem. And this is really big, because the site and source of your patient's problem, like the patient I mentioned previously, are often different things. I'll also be staying online afterwards to do a live Q&A, and I'll stay online for as long as needed to answer your questions. So anything you're unsure about in relation to the subjective assessment, I will do my very best to help you out. So the only place to guarantee your free place for this special training, this one-off webinar that I'm doing all around the subjective assessment, is to reserve your place. I will put a link in the show notes below, so please move quick to reserve your place. The software I use does have a limit on how many people are allowed into the sort of webinar, so please don't wait around, and please reserve your free place as soon as possible. Just to end the podcast, just like to say again, as always, thanks, and I really appreciate your time, your attention, and for joining me on the New Grad Physio podcast. Hope to see you next week on the Subjective Assessment Masterclass free training. But if not, I'll catch you on the next episode of the New Grad Physio podcast. So have a great day, whatever you've got planned, and I'll catch you all again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the New Grad Physio podcast. Before you head off, I just wanted to make sure you did not miss this. Alongside his podcast, Andy posts a weekly blog on his website, www.newgradphysio.com. You can access all his blogs and loads more resources, like his recent PDF, The 5 Breakthrough Steps to Confidently Treat the Shoulder Right Every Time, Avoid Mistakes, and Stop You Feeling Less Adequate Than Other New Grads. This is Andy's most popular resource and has already been accessed by thousands of therapists just like you. To get a copy of this PDF, or to get more information about Andy's upcoming courses or find out more about his New Grad Physio membership, head to www.newgradphysio.com. Have a great day, and we will catch you on the next podcast episode.